Good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is day 335, and that brings us to Psalm 50. By the way, the last 2 days in Judges 3 and 4 from our pastoral intern, Mike Tolercio, really, really excellent Bible teaching. So if you missed those devotionals, I just highly recommend you go back and catch up on those, Judges 3 and 4. Mike brings out things in those chapters, especially the way he points to Christ. It's just really good Bible teaching, so I highly commend those to you. But today we're looking at Psalm 50, and tomorrow at Proverbs 12. Every once in a while we go to the Psalms and then to Proverbs in this three-year journey through God's Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your just constant care in our lives. And you care for us, and sometimes that means you confront us in our sin, and you call us to repent. I pray, Father, that you would be our teacher and our guide through Psalm 50, and that through Psalm 50 you would speak to our hearts and draw us to yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that my voice is sounding a little bit better for your sake, and I am feeling better, not 100% yet, but this head cold, chest cold has been lingering for a while now. But here's Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The Lord declares his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls? Or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes, or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. To give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. That is Psalm 50. Well, Psalm 50 is a covenant lawsuit, a judicial psalm. It is God summoning his people as judge to bring against them claims under the terms of the covenant he has made with them. God is in covenant with his people, and God is the judge also, who upholds the requirements of the covenant and who calls his people to account for keeping or breaking the covenant. You see, there is no higher judge to appeal to. If you're involved with a covenant with some earthly person, you could have a judge that might decide disputes, like a neighborhood covenant dispute or a marriage covenant dispute. You would have a judge you could go before. But God is not only the one who makes the covenant with us, who keeps covenant with us, but who also is the judge who judges us on our covenant keeping with him. And let's just say, God's not entirely satisfied with how his people are keeping covenant with him. But when God summons his people, first of all, he summons the earth to bear witness. He summons all creation to be a witness as he brings charges against his people. This is actually a common motif in covenant lawsuits. We saw this in the book of Isaiah in our studies there. But here, God summons the earth to be the witness. And then he says, bring my people. And he's going to judge his people. There's actually two different categories of people within his people. There are the faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And he addresses them in verses 5 to 15. But then starting in verse 16 and going to the end, he addresses the wicked. But the wicked are also those who have taken up God's covenant on their lips. So how do we understand these two groups? Well, they're both people who would identify themselves as being part of the people of God. They're both part of Israel. They're both part of the church. They're both part of God's people. They've both taken up God's covenant on their lips. But the first group is a group of sincere believers who nonetheless have strayed in their thinking about worship and how they approach God, and God calls and corrects their thinking. The second group is a group of wicked people who are hypocrites, who are false professors. They've taken up God's covenant on their lips, but they really have absolutely no intention of doing what God says. So let's see what God says to these two different groups. First of all, he calls the first group my faithful ones, which is a wonderfully gracious way of him addressing these people, because we're not exactly being faithful here as we're being addressed in Psalm 50. I always see myself as part of this group, so I say we because I can see myself in this group. And this is God speaking to his people who are true believers. Thus, they have faith, and they are faithful because of the faithfulness of Christ ultimately in the covenant, but we have faith. And we're in covenant with God by sacrifice. Now, here's the way that God's people are thinking wrongly about it. They're thinking that by their bringing of sacrifice to God, that establishes and keeps covenant with God. But that's not really what's going on. And that's not what God ultimately wants them to see. God wants them to see that it is not what they give to him, but what he gives to them that makes the covenant what it is. We are in covenant with God by sacrifice, but we're not in covenant with God by the sacrifices we make to him, but rather by the sacrifice that he ultimately makes for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we are in covenant with God by sacrifice, but it's not our sacrifices that we bring that matter. It's what he gives to us. Now, how do we know that they're looking at sacrifices wrong? Well, it's because of how God rebukes them. He says, it's not for your sacrifices that I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. They're bringing sacrifices. They're bringing sacrifices continually. But God says, don't think that by doing this, you're somehow giving me something. Every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle of a thousand hills. I know all birds of the hills. All that moves in the forest is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? What's God saying here? Well, sometimes we can be drawn into thinking that we're doing things for God. and that God is happy with us because of what we are doing for Him. That's how I would say we fall into this trap today as believers. I mean, we don't go to church and bring lambs and goats and offer up bulls on an altar, but we can still be suckered into thinking that we are doing things for God. We are in service to the Lord. We are sacrificing our time and our talent and our treasure, our energy, our gifts, our priorities. We are serving the Lord. And the Lord should be happy with us for the service we are rendering to Him. And God says, do I need anything from you? Did I really ask you to give me anything to meet my needs? Do I have needs? One of the things that's bugged me in recent years is how quickly professing Christians will use the expression, God needs. God needs you to give. God needs you to serve. God needs you to pray. Don't ever take the subject God and put it with needs. God doesn't need anything. God gives, God provides, God blesses, God uses, and we are privileged to be called by God, to be used by God, to be blessed by God. God doesn't need anything from us. What does God want instead? Verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. What's a sacrifice of thanksgiving? A sacrifice of thanksgiving is a sacrifice that comes and says to God, you have given to me everything I have, and only from what is already yours do I give back to you in thanksgiving for all that you have given to me. You see, it's what God does for us. It's what God gives us that really matters. And so in our worship, it's not so much that we're serving God or giving God something, as we are giving thanks for all that He has done for us. And we call upon Him, and He delivers us, and we glorify Him. We're not helping God out. God is always the one who is helping, serving, delivering, giving to us. And what we give back to Him is thanksgiving. Well, then God speaks to the wicked. Because there are always, have always been, and are still, and will always be, among God's earthly church, false believers. People who call themselves by the name of God, and who identify themselves with the people of God, but are not true believers. And this is who God is talking to here. And He's saying to this group of people, you reject my discipline. You cast my words behind you. You have no intention of doing the things that I've commanded you to do. You forget God. To this group, God gives a much stronger charge. He says, mark this, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. See that contrast from verse 22? With verse 15. In verse 15, He said to His faithful ones who are misguided in their thinking, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to this unfaithful group, to this hypocritical group, He says, mark this, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to deliver. So there's a stark contrast, but then what I find is fascinating in verse 23, though, is He calls even this wicked group of hypocrites back to the same thing that He called His faithful people to. Thanksgiving. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. The same call to both groups of professing believers, sincere professing believers who are misguided and who need correction, and hypocritical professing believers who need repentance and salvation. Both are told the same thing. Give to God thanksgiving. Here we are, a week out from Thanksgiving Day. And on Sunday, intern Mike preached to us on giving thanks beyond Thanksgiving. So here's our call 1 week after Thanksgiving Day. Are we continuing to give thanks to God? Do we realize that He's the Creator who made everything? He's the Sustainer. He's the one who gives us every breath and every heartbeat every day of our lives. I posted all those alphabet of Thanksgiving posts, and it was a good exercise. But a week has gone by, well, you know, about 4 or 5 days since I stopped doing those posts, since it went a day or two past Thanksgiving. But am I still giving thanks? Am I still remembering that everything I have every day of my life is from God, and that what saves me, not what I do for God, but what God does for me, from beginning to end, fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Let's pray and give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, thank you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. You are the Lord, and to you alone belongs salvation. You are our Redeemer, our Father, our Provider, our Protector, the Captain of our salvation, our strong Defender. You are our all in all. Be our God. Rule over us. Reign in us. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Psalm 50. Tomorrow we'll be in Proverbs 12. Have a blessed day in the Lord.